Can we turn to John chapter 15? John and chapter 15. And we'll read the whole chapter. That's John and chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. For he that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that it is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth out of the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. So reads God's word. I was tempted to preach on abide, that before we can abide, we have to come out before we can go in. So the heading of for us this morning. I'm not going to preach on abide. The heading I've got for us this morning is brought out from where to bring us into where. He's going to take us out. But he's going to take us out from where? And he's going to take us in. And where is he going to take us into? And the text that I've thought about this morning, that the Lord laid on my heart, was Deuteronomy 6 and verse 23. This is after the... Deuteronomy is a month. This is a month before they crossed the Jordan. And Moses is reminding them. It's a month of reminding. He's reminding the people what God has done for them and what God has said and how they should live. And he reminds them here in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 23, he says, "And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers." He brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. So there he's bringing out. Moses reminded them that he brought them out so that he could bring them in. And you notice the word that he uses three times there in verse 23. He brought us out that he might bring us in, that he sware unto our fathers. You see, there's two actions that Moses wants them to remember. Two actions and a promise that God has made. The two actions was one in the past. He brought us out. And the second action is in the future. He's going to bring us in. And it's all because of the promise. A promise that he made to Abraham and to Jacob, to Isaac and to Jacob. That this land where you are, Abraham, I'm going to give it to you. And it was a few hundred years later on, they were over 300 years in captivity in Egypt. But he stresses that it wasn't him that brought them out. It was God that brought them out. And if God is going to bring us out of our sin, or if we've got to come out of our sin, it's God that has to bring us out. Paul would remind us that it's not by works of righteousness that we do, but it's according to his grace that he saved us. My dear friends, are you still in your sin this morning? You need to come out. And there's only one way that you can come out of your sin, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ, as I prayed, that he shed that blood. He who knew no sin was made sin. He took my sin. My iniquities, the scripture says, was laid upon him. And that was prophesied 500-600 years before he hung on the cross in Isaiah chapter 53. He's bringing us out. From where? Well, he brought them out from Egypt, from bondage, where they were enslaved. And where was he going to bring them into? To the land that he had promised Abraham. And what's the promise for us today in the New Testament? God is going to bring us out of our sin so that he can bring us into fellowship with himself. We cannot enter heaven in our sin. We have to have our sin dealt with. And there's only one way that the scripture says that we can have our sins dealt with, and that's by the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing on the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. Do you believe? You've all heard about the Lord Jesus Christ because you've all been to churches. We go to church every week. And in the churches that I would preach in the churches that I would go to, they preach Christ and Him crucified. Not good works. Not being a nice person. Not spending lots of money and doing lots of good charitable works. These are all good. These are what Paul says. These works were ordained for us before time. Paul says that in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. That these works were ordained for us. And it's not because of the works. It's because that Christ has done a work in our hearts. That we are inclined to do these things. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 tells us that all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. Every promise that God made to Abraham in them days was fulfilled. Even the promises He made then, today are being fulfilled. For God is building His church. Jesus is building His church. My friends, you can trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Pilate said to Him, "What is truth? Tell me." He wanted to know, "What is truth?" Well, if he had been amongst the disciples earlier on, he would have heard the truth. Because Jesus says, "I am the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by me." He's saying that He is exclusive. And Luke tells us in Acts chapter 4, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved." And what is that name? Well, the angel told Mary and he told Joseph, "You'll call His name Jesus." Why? Because He will save His people from their sin. Have you been saved this morning? Are you saved? Can you say with Paul this morning, "I know whom I have believed"? And I'm persuaded, fully persuaded, that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. What day? The day of judgment. When God looked down upon this man who was on the cross, He looked down on him. And He couldn't look at him because he had been made sin for us. And on that judgment day, we will stand before God, and if our sin has not been cleansed, God will turn His back upon us. And Jesus Himself says in Matthew chapter 25 that we will be cast into hell. Hell's a real place. This is why Jesus Christ came into the world. Hell was created before the foundations of the world. Because it tells us that the angels fell. In Isaiah chapter 14, I think it is, if I remember right. It tells us there that he wanted to be higher than God, this great angel. He's now known as Satan and the dragon and the serpent. My friends, he's your enemy this morning. He doesn't like you this morning. He doesn't do anything towards you if you are His. He'll keep you quiet. But Jesus says, if the world hated me, then it will hate you. We need to be saved, my dear friends. And I thank God that the Lord has given me the ability these 46 years to preach this wonderful gospel news. Brought out from where? To bring us into where? Do you know the answer? Do you know the answer? I've just told you. Take us out of our sin. He took him out of bondage. That was Egypt. They were under bondage. We are under bondage. Paul reminds us in Romans 5 that when we were yet without strength, Christ died for us. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Brought out. Yes. And it's wonderful to know that God used a man to bring them out. He used Moses. Moses in Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 and 14, he says, "Stand still and see the works of God." He was to encourage them because they were hemmed in. Before them was this great sea, beside them was the mountains, and at the back of them was the captors that were coming to take them again into captivity, Pharaoh and his army. And Moses was used to encourage them. They started to panic, and I would have panicked if I was there, I think, myself. And they were panicking. And Moses says, "Stand still and see the works of God. He'll save you today." And then in verses 21 and 22, God said, "Lift up your rod, Moses, lift up your rod and go forward." And he was there to lead them. It was a man that led them through the sea, because God had parted the sea. And then in verse 27, he secured them. God said, "Lift up your rod again, Moses, and the water will come on." And those Egyptians, as Moses had said to the people, "Those Egyptians that you see today, you will see no more." A picture of being saved. Your sins will not condemn you no more if the sins have been laid upon Christ. If he has taken our punishment. God brought them out and he used a man. And that was the first action. That was a past thing. Now the second action was going to be in the future. And we come when we come to Joshua chapter 1. It was Joshua who was given the authority. Moses was told, "You're not going into the land. I told you to speak to the rock and you struck it twice. You went against me. You're not going to see the land. Or you're not going to be in the land." But he says, "Go up to the mount and look to your north and your south and your west and your east. And you can see the land. That land that flows with milk and honey." And it tells us there, God says to them, "You're going to go into a land where you won't have to sow corn or wheat or barley. It's all there. You won't have to plant vineyards and olive groves because they're all there. Everything that you need, God has supplied in this land that flows with milk and honey." And there's a land that flows with milk and honey awaiting the Christian today. And when Christ comes back again and takes us to be with himself, we'll be in that place where he will supply all our needs. Yes, he brought them out with a man, and he takes them in with a man. That's Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2, and in verses 5 it tells us there that God said that he had to take them in. But there was a problem. The same problem the people had when they were facing the Red Sea. It was before them. And it tells us that the river was in spate. That it was overflowing its banks. We don't know how deep it was. But it certainly wasn't shallow enough for them to just walk through. Otherwise they would have done it. And John Bunyan again talks about when we come near the river that we have to cross before we go into the celestial city. Sometimes it's fast flowing, sometimes it's deep, and sometimes it's shallow. It all depends on your faith. John Bunyan tells us this. We're Christian and hopeful. You're going to have to cross a river. And I'm going to have to cross a river, as it were. before we enter into the celestial city, before these gates are opened and the shining ones invite us in. Oh, what a great day. This is all because of Calvary. It's all because the blood was shed that cleanses us from all sin. It's the work of Jesus Christ. If you're thinking about your own way of getting into heaven, then I'm telling you, you're wrong. The Bible says only Jesus Christ can save us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. If sin was so bad that it needed God's own Son to deal with it, then it must be extremely dangerous. That's why we need to have it sorted out by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Moses, in the text there, he claims no glory for himself. All the glory is for God, for he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in and give us the land that he sware unto their fathers. He was a great leader. He was a great man. He was a humble man. He was the only man that God spoke face to face with. And yet, God said to him at one time, I'm going to destroy the whole of Israel. And I'm going to make a new nation from you. And Moses said, oh no, Lord. If you do that, what are the Egyptians going to say? What are the surrounding countries going to say? God was able to bring them out, but he wasn't able to put them in. Oh no, Lord, don't do that. And he prayed for the people, and God forgave them. Moses wanted no glory. All the glory was to be for the Lord. And that's you and I today. We don't want any glory for our salvation. If we have it, it was God that done it. God broke into my heart. God saw me in my sin. And God had mercy and pity upon me. I didn't seek him. I didn't want him. I didn't look for him. But he knew where I was because he's omnipresent and he's omniscient. And I was chosen, and every Christian is chosen before the foundations of the earth in Christ Jesus. Jesus himself says in John chapter 15, that's why I read it, in verse 19, if ye were of the world would love his own, but because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. You see, it's Jesus that has to do the choosing. And he knows where all those that the Father gave him, he knows where they are. He's not looking blindly. He knew I was standing in that bar in Lancaster that evening. He knew I was there. And unknown to me, he spoke to me by his Holy Spirit. I didn't know it was the Holy Spirit, but there was a feeling that came upon me. What am I doing here? You foolish man, this is going to kill you. Get out. Now that wasn't me, because I was quite happy in my sin. But it was the grace and the goodness of God. Brought out. John 15, verse 19, I've read it. So that he can bring us in. John 14, verse 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. God used a man to bring them out from Egypt. God used a man to take them into the promised land. And God uses a man to bring us into heaven. And that man is Christ Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God says you're going to perish without Christ. These are dangerous times in which we live in. You can be called today to stand before him. Listening to the news, how many people have been murdered up and down our land. They woke up in the morning and they thought, this is a good day. I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to go on holiday today. I'm going to do this today and I'm going to do that. And by night time, they were in the hands of an undertaker. We never know. That's why God says today, today if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Listen to me. Jesus says, he who has ears, let him hear. Listen to what the Bible says. Not what the preacher says, but what the Bible says. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And we are all yoked to our sin. So he says, take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Talking about burdens being light, Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. How heavy is your cross? It could be heavy. But how many people want to take up their cross and they build their own cross and they build it with balsa wood? I don't know if you know what balsa wood is, but we used to have little planes in a kit and it was balsa wood. It's as light as anything. And many people want to take the cross, but it's their cross. And it's merely balsa wood. It's easy to carry. But Jesus says, take up your cross, it's his cross, and follow me. Brought out. Again, God uses a man. I've just quoted it, John 3:16, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, Acts 4, I quoted that earlier on as well. Acts 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. We must be saved. It's not you ought to be saved or you can be saved. But God says you must be saved. Brought out from where? To bring us in where? He brings us out of these seven places, and I won't labour on them because I want to get to where he's taking us in. But he takes us out of the world. In John 15 verse 19, he takes us out of the world. In other words, we could say this, because I'm still in the world. But I would see it like this. Not that he takes us out of the world, but he takes the world out of us. As John says later on in his first epistle, love not the world or the things of the world. So he takes the world, as it were, out of us. And if the world is out of us, then we are out of the world. So he takes us out of the world. He takes us out of our sin. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5, that he came to deal with our sin. 1 John 1, 7, it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. He takes us from our sin. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 tells us that he takes us out of the darkness and brings us into his glorious light. That's talking about wisdom. If you're in the dark, you know nothing. And he takes us out of that darkness by the Holy Spirit. He says the Holy Spirit will come and he will lead you into all truth. And that's into light. So he takes us out of the darkness. He takes us out of death. Romans chapter 5 verse 8, when we were yet dead in our trespasses and sins. He says that in Ephesians chapter 2, where he says it as well in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. When we were yet in our sin, Christ died for us. 1 Corinthians 15, and I won't read it, verses 51 to 57, talks about the resurrection. If there's a resurrection, then you're not dead. You can't be dead and have a resurrection. The resurrection takes you out, so he takes us out of death. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, he takes us out of the fear of death. It talks about there, everyone who has lived their lives with the fear of death. But Jesus takes the fear of death away from us. For death is our coronation. A crown of righteousness waits on us, it says in the scripture. So the fear of death is taken from us. Maybe the fear with how we die, but death itself has no sting. Christ has taken the sting out of death. We might fear the way in which the Lord has ordained that we should go. But death itself is a closing of the eyes and a stopping of the heart. That's all that death is. But Christ has conquered it. He has tasted it. And he has vanquished it. There's coming a time when there'll be no death. That's when we get into where he's going to bring us in. And then lastly, he's taken us out of condemnation. Paul tells us there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. You see what happens when you come out and you abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, he says 9 times there, I think it's 9 times he says, abide in me, live in me, be in me, stay in me. That's what it means to abide in Christ. And then we can say the same as Paul says in Colossians, that your life is hid with Christ in God. Oh, these are important. These are wonderful words this morning. That God is still building his church. God is still saving sinners. You've no excuse. No one has an excuse. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1 that everyone knows that there is a God. Why do they worship other gods? Because they know within themselves, and it comes from Adam, surely. Down through the ages, there is this installed in them that there is a God. That's why they want to worship gods. Because they believe that there are gods. So no one has any excuse. Paul tells us that in Romans chapter 1. You have no excuse this morning when you stand before the Lord and say, well, I didn't know. You've been told time and time again, take heed, he who has ears, that he hears. Just a couple of minutes. Bring us out from where we've just said these 7 places, these 7 things. Now, where is he going to take us into? Oh, my friends. This is where he's going to take us into. Listen to these words. Revelation chapter 20. Some words from there and some words from chapter 21. Chapter 21 and 22. Chapter 21, the first 5 verses. Listen to this. This is where he's taken us out of our sin and our condemnation, out of darkness, out of the fear of death, even death itself. And he's going to take us into somewhere. And listen to where he's going to take us. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, neither crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And chapter 22 and verses 1 to 6. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. I've got an apple tree that's yielded nothing, not one apple. But this will yield every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face. Isaiah says in Isaiah 33, ye shall see the king in all his beauty. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, no need of a candle, neither of light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And he said that in Revelation chapter 21. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Time is gone. But have you been taken out? Have you been taken out? Out of your sin. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And where will he take you to? A place where there is no more death, no more crying, no more sickness. Where the trees, and a figure of, where the trees are there for the taking. Every month of the year, there's nothing barren. And there shall be no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. You're either going there, or you're not going there. Let's pray.